Turn with me, please, to this third chapter of the book of the Revelation. And the verse 2, be watchful and strengthen the things which remain that are ready to die. Let's stand to our feet for a word of prayer. O God, our Father, work in all our hearts by the might of thy great eternal Spirit. Holy Spirit, come and burn thy truth into our inmost souls. And may we obey the word of God so that we may be mediums in thy hand for a great outpouring of thyself. Work in our midst, we pray, and sanctify each waiting heart, baptize us with power today. And to this end, I take the promised Holy Ghost, the blessed power of Pentecost, to fill me to the uttermost. I take. Thank God he undertakes for me. And the people of God said, amen. Let's be seated. There is no doubt about it that the Church of the Lord Jesus Christ needs a mighty outpouring of the Spirit of God. Much has been said about this matter, and many books have been written upon it, and many sermons preached upon it. But when we come to this third chapter of Revelation, we come not to man's method in securing a revival for the Church of Christ, but Christ's own method. Notice, please, the Lord, the King of the Church, has something to say about this matter in verse 2. Be watchful and strengthen the things which remain that are ready to die, for I have not found thy works perfect before God. Here is the method which the Lord prescribes for his church in a day of declension, a day of weakness, and a day of compromise. What are these remaining things? That's the great question that we need to ponder. If you look with me at verse 1, you will find that the Lord has something to say there. And he says, I know thy works. Then when we come to verse 2, we find that God hath not found those works perfect. And then in verse 3, there is the invitation by the Lord that we should remember how we received the Word of God, how we held it fast after we received it, and how we repented. And then we are told, if we do not watch, Christ will come as a thief, and he will remove from us the oil and burning fire of his divine presence and his divine holiness. This is a solemn matter for the children of God. And I want tonight to ask and answer that question, what are those remaining things? I have heard many people say, well, the church needs a thorough spring cleaning. We should pull down the old ways. We should pull down the old way of doing things. And we should be very great and taking up various methods and using them with all the strength of our power. Revival will not come to the church through new methods. Revival will come by a new undertaking by the Spirit of God to pour out His power amongst us. And we need to get that into our minds and into our heart. Now, first of all, the church in its organization remains. And that the church has many failures, it has many weaknesses. But thank God where two or three are met together in the name of Christ, there is Christ in the midst. For it's unto Him shall the gathering of the people be. And where Jesus is among His people, there is the true church of Christ. Now, the church of Christ will be tested. It will be tried. It will be attacked. It will be infiltrated by those who are not faithful to the divine Savior. But nevertheless, the Lord preserves His church and will preserve His church. He says, I will build my church, and the gates of hell, hallelujah, shall not prevail against it. So Christ's church will be built, and it will be maintained, and the church will never be forsaken by the Savior. He will keep His church. And one day, hallelujah, present it spotless before the presence of His glory with exceeding joy. So we have the church, and we need to strengthen the church. The church is the method that God has ordained to bless His people, to strengthen His people in fellowship together, and to be the trumpet of God in an evil day and in an evil hour. And the church must strengthen its preaching potential and its preaching power. We have only one method set forth in the Holy Scriptures for the furtherance of the church, and that is the pure preaching of the Word of the living God. And we have got to strengthen our preaching ability and our preaching power. That's why you should always, every day, pray for your preacher and pray that God will preserve him. And God will bless him, and bless his wife, and his family, and bless his home, and make him a faithful and true preacher of the gospel. We need a return to the old-time preaching of the Word of God. Strengthen the things that remain that are ready to die. How will we strengthen them? We will strengthen them when we put preaching in the top place in the church's program. The preaching of the Word of God. It has pleased God through the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. It has pleased God. God has no other pleasure in method in the church. If you look at that, those texts, you will find there that in verse 3, he reminds them how they received the word of God, how they heard the word of God, how they held fast to the word of God, and how they repented. And then he says, if therefore thou shalt not watch, then I will remove from you the right to be a church. I will take away the light from you, and you will be in darkness. So the church must strengthen its preaching and proclamation power. There is only one thing that converts the souls of man, and that is the mighty word of the living God. Is not my word a hammer that breaketh a rock in pieces? And my, in this day we need the hammer, and we need to see the rock smashed by the power of God. You should not despair of the hardest sinner in Port of Dime, for God can save him. You should not despair of the most wicked person in this Ulster of ours, for God can save them. I remember when I commenced my ministry too many years ago to want to think about it. I remember asking my elders who was the worst sinner on the road, on the Ravenhill Road. And they looked at me. I was only a stripling of a boy of 20 years of age. And they were all old men in their 60s, 60s, and 70s. And they just smiled. And I said, I know what you're thinking. You think I'm just a young, red-faced fella from Ballymena and I'm only a child. But I want to know who's the worst sinner in this road. And you men of your elders of the church, you should know who the worst sinner is. Have you ever spoken to them? Have you ever asked them to come to Christ? They just looked at me. And I looked at them. But I think my look was a bit more fiery than theirs. And they said, well, think about it. So they thought about it. And at the next Kirk session meeting, they said, we'll tell you who the worst sinner is in this road. He's a man that lives opposite in a little alleyway in an old shed of a place. He was first drunk when he was 12 years of age in the local pub. He's been drinking ever since. He has a vile mouth. He has awful language. And he's a bitter and wicked sinner. Curses the church, curses Christ, and curses the gospel. Well, I said, I make a resolution in this committee, we will get them saved. They nearly fell off their chairs. Imagine godly men, most of them were converted under W.P. Nicholson, and two of them had been wild men themselves. But the victim says, "Ah, you know, you're far too respectable to be elders in this church that I'm preaching. This is not a respectable church. This is a church that's going to go after sinners." So we started to pray. And I'm sure many of them prayed in unbelief, but I have prayed with faith. And thank God that man came into the service. And of course the people we're all wondering at it. And a man said, isn't that wonderful to see him in our church? I said, it's not wonderful at all. I've nearly broken my health praying that he would come in. And I said, you don't have much faith in your heart. But I'm going to tell you, you're going to see that man saved by the grace of God. But I did a very foolish thing as a young preacher. I preached at the man. And every Sunday night I charge my gospel gun and I let it off right in his face. And he sat on my left-hand side and I never looked anywhere else in the church but the left-hand side and I went for it. And he just smiled. And one night I thought I would preach on liquor because he was filled with it. He was stinking like a distillery. So I said, I'll preach that sermon, and I preached it. I'm going out, stinking of liquor. You know what he said to me? It's an awful thing, that thing, liquor, isn't it? It's an awful thing. I was dumbfounded. And God said to me, you remember, young man, it's not by might nor by power, but it's by my spirit, saith the Lord. One day I was on the road, and I ran into his daughter. She had been looking for me. And she said, the old man's at my house. I brought him round from the old hovel he lives in. And she said, I want to tell you, Mr. Paisley, he tells me he's not well. But I don't believe a word of it. And he's lying in bed. So I went round to see him. And when I went in, they had fixed up the front room as a bedroom in the house. And I went in, and I couldn't see anything but the form of him under the blankets, and his nose was appearing just above the pillow as he breathed. And I said, what's wrong with you? He said, shut the door. I don't want her to know anything about it. So I shut the door, and I pulled up my chair to the side of the bed, and I said, now you have the manners to pull down the sheet and the blankets and let me see your face. So he pulls down the sheet and the blankets and there he was. I said, what are you doing in bed? Are you sick? No, he says, I'm not sick. Well then, why are you in bed? And he burst into tears because I'm going to hell. And I said, hallelujah. And he said, what are you shouting hallelujah when I tell you you're going to hell? Because I said, I have been praying that God would lick the backs of your legs with hellfire until you came under conviction of sin. Well, he says, I don't know what I have, but I'm under conviction of sin. And he said, I've been a sinner. So you could say that again. And you were the worst sinner in the Raven Hill Road, and you were a rascal. And he said, oh, don't be too hard on me. He says, I'm going to be hard on you. You went out every night and said no to Jesus for nearly 2 years. Turned your back on the Son of God. And I said, you deserve to be boiled and stewed in conviction for the way you have lived. Oh, he said, is there any hope for me? Well, I said, I can do nothing for you. Oh, then he said, I'm finished. You can't help me. I was trusting you could do it. He says, I can do nothing for you. But Jesus can do it. And in his tears, he cried to God for mercy. And when a sinner cries to God for mercy, God has mercy for him. Nobody has turned away who ever came to Jesus. He brings them all in, and he brought that man in, and he got saved. Really saved. And of course it stirred up the whole neighborhood. The people in the church said, I wonder, is he really saved? Will he go on? I said, if God has saved him, he'll go on. If he's a Paisley convert, he hasn't a chance. He'll go back to the old way. And the man on the road said, well, we'll see what he does on Friday night. Friday night came. He wasn't in the pub. He didn't turn up to drink. He was always thrown out of the pub at 9:30. Those were the days when there was reasonable hours for drinking. And the pub closed at 9:30 and he was always thrown out in the street, full drunk. But he wasn't there. He was sober in his right mind at the feet of Jesus. And then they said to him, well, we are sure when the 12th of July comes, he'll not stick it. He made the 12th and the 13th as well. And he never touched the liquor. And then they said, well, he'll not get back. Apprentice Boys of Derry meeting in August. He got through it sober as a judge. And then they said he'll never get sober on Black Saturday. And he went to the field on Black Saturday and he walked straight to the field and he walked back again as sober as a judge. And then they gave him to Christmas. Christmas came and he remained sober. And then they said, well, we've given up on him. He must be saved. Oh, and he was saved. I was with him before he passed over to see the King in the city of God. And he held me by the hand and he said, Ian, I'll be the first to meet you when you come through the gate. I'll be waiting for you. And what a time we'll have in heaven. My friend, that man was more to my ministry than all the adverts I ever put in a paper or all the evangelism I ever done around the doors. There was a man like the man in the book of the Acts. He was standing with the apostles, a witness to the fact that Jesus saves. I recommend to you, you get the worst sinner in Portadown saved, and you'll see things happen in this time. God moves in a mysterious way his wonders to perform. He plants his footsteps in the sea and rides upon the storm. And it all comes through the preaching of the gospel. And you need to pray that your preacher will be baptized with holy fire as he preaches the gospel from this pulpit. You need to pray that God will fill the pews with sinners. And all the nice, respectable people can stand outside when the sinners get saved. I started after that a drunks meeting. And every Friday night, we got the drunkards in. Went round all the pubs and we dragged them in. And then we got into them hot tea or coffee to sober them up. And then we preached to them. And God started to save real wild sinners. Save them by the grace of God. God wants us to go after the lost souls and to get them under the keeping of the Savior. The Lord came from heaven because he loved the souls of men. And you'll never love the souls of men until you get among them with an urge in your heart and a tear in your eye to see them converted to God. You notice in this portion of Scripture that's before us, you'll notice that there was just a few people, a few names in Sardis. But those few people kept that church in the circle of the church. The thief never came. The hour of judgment never came because there was a few in Sardis that had not defiled their garments. And they walked with Christ in white, for they were worthy. And then notice in verse 5, he that overcometh, the same shall be clothed in white raiment. And his name will not be taken out of the book of life. Yes, the things that remain that are ready to die. I've heard people say, we have to reconstruct the church. No, you haven't. Jesus Christ is the only person that can construct the church. I hear people say that we should go in for this type of meeting and the other type of meeting. And I say what we need are meetings where the Holy Spirit has his way in the life and in the hearts of men. And Spirit-filled believers will be enabled by the power of the gospel to reach sinners and see them converted and gloriously changed by the grace of God. It is not, and I repeat it, it is not by new methods that revival will come. It is by returning to the old paths and asking, where are the good ways that we may walk therein. Brethren and sisters in Christ, the churches today need a baptism of the power of the Spirit of God. Every believer needs to be filled with the Holy Ghost. We're not to be drunk with wine, we're in its excess. We're to be filled with the Spirit of God. To look at some Christians, that would make you miserable. You know, there's some Christians, when I see them coming, I get out of their way as quick as I can. Mr. Nicholson used to say they shake hands with you as if their hand was an old cod just caught out of the river. Do you know Christians like that? Keep away from them. Get among Christians that love the Lord, that have something good to say about the portion of Scripture they've read in the morning before they issued from their bedroom. And if you get up in the morning, believer, you should meet Christ first. You meet Him first. Don't leave your bedroom until you met Him, till you close your eyes in prayer and read the Scripture and go out to fight the battle that the Lord wants us to fight for the souls of men. Lord, love these souls through me and help me do my part to win them unto Thee. It's wonderful how God wins souls to Himself. I get letters continually from the sermon audio, and they tell me, people tell me, how they have come to Christ as they have listened to me preaching the gospel on the audio, and I rejoice. Letter from a man who was brought up on the Falls Road. He left Northern Ireland because he said, "I hated you, Mr. Paisley, and I thought it would put the Atlantic between you and me." So he left. He went to Texas. He went into a university there, and he graduated, and he got a good job in Texas. But he was a lost soul, a poor Roman Catholic, deluded with popery and walking the devil's road to a lost eternity. And one day he was walking down the street of the town that he lived in, and something happened to him. And he told me in his letter, he said, "I was arrested by the Spirit of God." And he said, "I was so shaken, I had to go and stand against the nearest wall to hold myself up. And a man was passing down the street, and he was from Ulster. He came over and he says, 'What's wrong with you?' He says, 'I don't know, but I have soul trouble.' 'Oh,' he says, 'that can be cured.' He says, 'Ian Paisley's on here in the website. I'll give you the number. You get on your website and hear him preach.' He said, 'I left Northern Ireland to get out of that man's way.' And he said, 'I'm not going to do that.' Well, then he said, 'You'll just run on to hell. You need to get the gospel.' And he went home. And he said, I sat there and said, 'Well, should I do this?' And then I decided to do it. And he said, 'You just spoke the word I needed. And I was down before that old machine calling on God to save me. And God saved me.' And he said, 'I thought I should tell the priest.' So he said, I left home and went down to the parochial house. And I rang the bell and the priest came out and said, 'What do you want coming here today?' He says, 'I want to tell you something. I've had a wonderful experience. I met a priest who forgave all my sins for nothing. He didn't ask me for a mass money or anything. He forgave them all. And I am now a saved man. I'll never be back in your chapel. I'll never be back at the mass. I've met Jesus.' God can save men today. We need to see the salvation of lost souls. And we need to see them mighty quickly, because our country needs men and women washed in the blood of the Lamb and filled with the Spirit of God. Oh, my friend, the things that are ready to die can be strengthened. And the fruit can come as it came in the days of the great revival. God is not dead. Christ is the ever-living one. He is the Lamb that takes away the sin of the world. Let us rouse ourselves from lethargy. Let us have done with worldliness. Let us have done with flirting with the things of time and sense. And let us give ourselves to the task to bring man to the feet of our Lord Jesus. Oh, what a life it is to be a soul winner. And what joy comes to your heart when you point a dear soul to Christ and you see the marvel of God's grace and the wonder of God's power. There is no joy like the joy of the soul winner. There is no wine like the soul winner's wine. I recommend it to you. And I trust that this short word of mine tonight will stir your heart. And you'll make up your mind, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. And if you're in this meeting tonight and you're a lost soul, you're not saved, and you have no hope in Christ, and you've rejected Him for years, right now where you sit in the seat, you can call and ask Him to save you, and He'll save you right away. He never turned a soul away and never will. And praise God, He can save you tonight. And you can leave this meeting. All things can pass away and all things can become new. You say, I could never keep it. No, you couldn't, but Jesus can keep you. Salvation is not trying to keep something. Salvation is giving yourself in full surrender to the blessed Son of the living God. He came all the way from heaven. He took the longest journey that anyone ever traveled. He came from eternity into time to this world that He Himself created in order that you might be saved. He died on the cross. He took our sins and our sorrows. He made them His very own. He bore the burden of Calvary. And He suffered and died alone. And you can call upon Him now, and He'll save you. And He'll really save you. And He'll take away your desire for sin and your desire for the world and the flesh and the devil. And He'll put new hope and new joy and new life in your heart. And old things will pass away and all things will become new. Friend, close with Christ freely offered to you in the gospel tonight. And dear believers, let's get down to obeying the word, to strengthening the things that remain that are ready to die. And if we do, we'll see great times of refreshing. They'll be queuing up to get into this church. And the people will say, we built it too small. That's what God does when God works among people. May the Lord bless you and make you a blessing. And inside your busy day, have a prayer for my wife's husband, for he needs your prayers. Just send a prayer to heaven and say, Lord, bless him patiently today. Give him a tongue like an old cow that he'll cut into the enemies of the country and he'll stand up for Jesus. God answers prayers like those. And I need your prayers. I'm greedy for your prayers. Mr. Nicholson used to stand at the door of the church as he preached in and he said, I don't want your pennies. I want your prayers. I don't want your silver. I want your supplication. I don't want your gifts. I want you to pray for me that I'll be a blessing. And I would say the same to you tonight. Pray for this preacher that he'll be strong in the Lord and in the power of the Lord's might. And we'll see great things. Great days are ahead. I'm looking forward to times of refreshing from the presence of the Lord. It is no secret what God can do. God is the God of secrets, the God of miracles, the God of almighty, omnipotent power. His blood has made 10,000s clean. Hallelujah! His blood avails for me. May it prevail for you tonight in Jesus' name. Amen.